Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If
Huh?
only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before.
All right,
No
all right,
video.
all right. Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
Just pretend you're talking to.
Oh,
okay. Well, we can say it now.
You
it
might have
matter.
To say yes, just so the
okay.
you know. I think it's all that privacy. Make sure you know you're being.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we just tell people to sit.
So, yeah. This is our first Zoom experience, as everybody has been Zooming. The whole world was Zooming, and we were still doing our thing. So
that's
awesome.
Okay.
You.
Yeah, okay. That's okay. That's good.
And this is supposed to be very natural. Just talk. No,
okay.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
big
right.
deal. For anything, for more than anything, it's just we're interested to hear people's stories, especially in the industry you're in, because I just find it's been a challenge. The last couple of years has been very, very, very interesting.
It's a funny one, right? Because Kenny, Glenson and Mimi have been texting me all week, right? And so even this morning, they're like, I'm not sure if you want us on the podcast. You know, I don't know how we fit. And I think I said to them, I'll explain it on the podcast, right? But I think the thing that we're after on this podcast that our listeners really love is just like success comes in different formats, different shapes. It's different for every single person. And I think what people in business are starting to find is there's no set formula, right? Like before, it's always like, oh, you have to do these things. You know, I actually was thinking of you guys because I was thinking of the story you told me about Mr. Wong.
Yes. Oh, the one that your father's friend.
Yeah, yeah. No, no,
yes.
my buddy's father. Anyway, I'll tell that in a second, but I was thinking about that and I was thinking, but it's not true, right? Like there really isn't a formula to success. It's everybody finds their own way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like the two of us, we find a lot of people for that reason, right? Because we don't have a system. Like when we help people, it's not about like, you must do these things. There are a handful of things that you must do, you know, to make sure the dollars and cents work, right? Because the dollars and cents have to work. Otherwise it makes
just nothing to do.
You know, otherwise it's just a passion and it's not a business, right?
Yeah.
So,
yes.
right. But other than that, so that's why we wanted you on. Cause I think you guys are amazing and you've done such an amazing job.
Thank you.
Thank you. I wouldn't think that way, but
I think it's a lie, but thank you. I appreciate that.
No, not at all. So I'll introduce you guys to the audience.
Please.
So I have Glenson and Mimi on, and they run Celadon House, which is a at this point, it's an institution of Asian fusion food, I guess, really, in the greater Toronto area, so where I'm based. And I've known Glenson and Mimi, I don't know, it feels like 1,000 years now.
20 years.
Yeah, is it 20?
Almost 20
yeah.
years.
So,
yeah.
so
From
Kenny,
the moment we landed.
I met Megan when Megan was like 4.
In
I
diapers.
Think.
Yeah, she looks like a baby practically.
Yeah. Now she's
like
this
sweet.
Smart young lady, like solving world's problems and helping data sets and like all these things. And her sister is doing some biomedical fancy
something.
Stuff.
Engineering.
Graduate. Yeah, something that's going to save us from ourselves.
Yes,
really.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
hopefully, yes.
But,
give us
but
a
these
biomechanical
two,
arm.
But I've known these two 20 years. They have run the restaurant in all sorts of shapes and forms. They've now been through 20 years, put 2 kids through school, you know, have a thriving business and survived COVID as well. So I think... wanted to get to know you guys, want the listeners to get to know you guys a little bit more and then kind of like hear from you guys what business is like. I have a small funny story. So one of the other listeners to the show, Jeff Wong, who helped put us on Samsung Bixby, his dad used to be this great big, we'll call him a godfather of restaurants here in Toronto. So he was here, you know, early on when there were no Chinese restaurants here whatsoever. His dad was a chef, right? So, and Bill Wong kind of like founded this restaurant association, but really kind of like a non-creepy mafia for restaurants, right? Like he kind of walked around and helped people like build fundamentals when they were like cooks and didn't know anything about the business of making restaurants. But fast forward 30 years, he's retired, lives in Oakville, and he shows up at Glenson and Mimi's door when they're first starting their restaurant.
Yes.
And like 2 weeks kind of into like, it. Right? Yeah.
And he kind of like
walks in
it.
And, you know.
Well, I think he was invited, right?
I don't know if he was invited. I don't remember what really happened. That was 20 years ago, first week when we opened, I think.
I think Joe asked him.
Then Joe is the chef, another head chef behind the, you know, I think he's the one behind the Walk with Yan. He's the brains behind the Walk with Yan.
Okay. So
he happened to be a friend of a friend that got introduced to us. But anyway, so Bill Wong came, and then you can tell the rest of the story.
So, and what's really funny is at this point, they don't know that I know Bill, right? Because I know his son, right? That's it, right? So, but Bill shows up at their door. And so these two are telling me this story about some guy shows up and he like demands to see our menu. And then he says, you got to change the menu. This is wrong and that's wrong. And
and you will never be successful. This is outright just blatantly wrong.
You know, like,
and you're thinking, just like, so shocked.
Yeah. These two, and they're just like, what the hell? Who is this guy? And then like, I was like, that's outrageous. Who is this guy? And they're like, it's some guy named Bill Wong. And I was like, that's Jeff's dad. Okay. That's he's a little outrageous, but you know. It's that's very funny. Like,
so
we were so deflated. We first of all, when we started, we really knew nothing. Like ignorance was bliss.
So
like,
you guys came from?
We came from the Philippines, but we're Chinese people living in the Philippines, and so we have always had like a very different kind of like Filipino food, Chinese food kind.
So
of thing.
A blend between the two.
Countries. Yes.
Good food already. I mean, good on their own.
Together,
great.
So. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
So it's very different from what Bill Wong would know, right? Yeah. So completely different from Cantonese, completely different from
North America, Chinese.
Like completely different. So our menu obviously did not reflect anything that he knew. It only reflected of what we knew and
what you knew.
We thought we knew would be enough to just make a living. We did not have this like, oh, we're so passionate, we're great cooks. We wanted to do a big restaurant. We want to be the best food in the world. We did not have any of those ideals at all. Yeah. We just want to make sure we don't go back home with nothing, you know, or we just don't want to go back home.
You just want to go back home.
We want to make sure we don't go hungry.
Right.
You know, we have two girls that we have to be taken care of, and we want to make sure that we are never hungry. And that was pretty much the only goal, right? To be successful. And we came through a business visa as well. We did not come, like at the time there was the skilled visa.
It was an entrepreneur visa, they call it.
Entrepreneur.
Right.
We had to do some
There was
of
a condition
business.
On the visa that we had to start a business.
Yeah, to start a business to contribute.
Yeah.
Yes.
You couldn't wait to find a job. You had to create a job.
We actually tried to find a job at first to see how it goes. And we thought, oh, let's just do a Tim Hortons franchise. So that's a business of some sort. Well, it's easier said than done. It's very run very differently from where we came from, where Glenson's family had a franchise of sorts. And that's kind of how we thought it was going to be run. So when he worked for Tim Hortons, that was so very, very different. He stayed 3 months and he was like, wow.
Yeah, it's just a different.
It's nothing at all. Like
feel.
Back home, you have like staff and you have people and you kind of manage it. Here, you're pretty much all of it.
Yeah, you're all of it. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, labor was cheap back home. So are there any shift? You probably have around 20 staff,
right?
Even on a slow hour, and here it's just, you know,
it's a different world, right? Yeah. So you immigrated to Canada 20 years ago.
Yes.
You had two kids at the time, right? Both girls were
tiny, a toddler and an infant,
three and two, I think.
Yeah.
And you moved directly into the Mississauga, Toronto, GTA area.
We directly moved to Oakville.
Oakville. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And that was just by fluke. It just
happened. Everything was just by chance.
So
Benson saw a house, he saw it, and he saw the listing, and there's one in Woodbridge, there's one in Oakville. I'm like, okay.
The other one got sold, so okay, Oakville.
it was just how it is.
So that's how you pick the place. That's the house available, that's where we live.
Exactly.
And you've been there ever since.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Time. Wow. Yes. Wow. Yeah, it really has been a long
time. I actually don't remember how I met you.
Kathy.
Kathy.
Okay. And then because you married Kathy and you're friends with Steph, who's friends with Kathy, when we came here,
she hooked us up with Kathy. Kathy
and Kathy's family, you know, uncle and auntie was very, very welcoming and such warm. And we were like so lost with no parents. And we were just like, oh my God, you know, it's so nice to have another elder in another foreign country.
For sure.
Because when we came here, we really knew nobody.
No, like, yeah. And like even Kathy's dad reminds us of her dad.
Yeah, he looks very much like my dad. So when we came here, there was really nothing much to rely on in the sense of like, okay, which grocery do I go to? Which drugstore do people get things from? Like, how do you hook myself up with a doctor? Like,
why are people putting out the blue boxes outside? What's that for?
That was like the biggest change for us. We're like, everybody was bringing something out. Where did they get that? I was a stay-at-home mom at that time, and I was looking out the window. What do I do with the garbage? Because where we came from, people came to get the garbage every day. The maids bring it out.
Then
we didn't really think much of it. And then here, I was wondering what was going on. And then
there's a schedule, the truck apparently. Would come,
and I did not even know where the blue box came from. And then there were so many instances where there were so many nice people just around the neighborhood who was like, oh,
yeah,
hi, how are you? You know, I guess you just moved to the area and let me help you winterize. I'm like, what does winterize mean? Like where we come from, it was 38 degrees all the time, you know?
Can you put a jacket on your house?
Like we could not understand what winterize mean, right? Like, do we put a blanket over the roof? What does that mean? Like, we were so ignorant of what it entails to have winter. So it was just all so many, many nice people helping us. And we are here today because, you know, I would say 80%, so many nice people.
So let me back it up a little bit. So first off, I guess, why Canada?
Another thing. So when we were, when we had the kids, it was a very dark time in the Philippines. There was a lot of kidnappings going on.
Right.
And we're not, we're starting to get really anxious about it in the sense where at first it was just the news and then, you know, another news today, another news there, you hear it from there, and then started getting really close to home and it started becoming our friends, our cousins.
Oh, wow. So
people from kidnapping for ransom. Yeah. And sometimes people don't come back. You know, I've had cousins who did not come back and paid the ransom and everything. So at that time, that's one of the reasons, like, we were fearful. It never was really safe like it is in Canada ever since I was growing up. But it started getting really bad in that sense. And I have two girls. And, you know, if you have girls, it's like a completely different story, right? So at the time, we were thinking like, oh, what are we going to do? Then my friend happened to have a neighbor that lives in Canada. She's Canadian. And she went to the Philippines to marry someone.
Well, she had to live in the Philippines because the husband,
you know, she went works with the in husband. The
Philippines, and she happened to be our neighbor.
And he happened to be another family friend, and we got talking, and we became really good friends. And her children were the same age as my girls, and then we became really good friends. And she was saying, mm-hmm. "Oh, you know what? Knowing you, if you move to Canada, you would do so well." And I'm like, "Why?" And she's like, "You're so white." And I'm like, "What?" She's like, "You are so non-typical."
That's so funny.
Like, she was like, "You are so white." I'm like, "Why would you say that?" And then she's like, "You are so not the typical Asian, Filipino Chinese person that she met." Like, So I said, like, "I don't know what that means, but anyway." So she said, like, "Just try it out." And then they live in Woodbridge, and she said, "I'm going back next year. You want to come with us?" And then, you know, just come and see. So Glenn and I thought, like, okay, let's make a trip out of it. But at the same time, we never really wanted to because we did have a good life back home. But we said, like, okay, let's make a trip out of it. So we came. We lived with their family for about a month. And then, you know, we came here as tourists. Obviously, being a tourist is totally different than immigrating.
Totally different.
It was so enjoyable. The people were nice. My goodness, the park, the greens, everything is green and it's sunshine. The bright sunshine is nothing compared to what it is back home. Back home, even if it's bright and sunny, it's never clear. It's just hot and sunny.
Muggy.
Right.
So
usually muggy, yeah.
That was the biggest wow. and the people were just so warm and kind that I was so flabbergasted how, and they don't know us and we're immigrants or we're tourists, right? Mm-hmm. So we thought like, wow, this is so nice. Maybe we can do this. So when we got home, we thought like, let's just apply. You know, we probably won't get it because we know a lot of people who never got approved. So we just like, okay, let's apply. Oh, lo and behold, we got approved so fast. We didn't have time to think. We got approved within 10 months.
Seriously?
Yes. Yeah. And all of our friends were like, what happened? And we actually had our interview done in Seattle. And the day we were leaving was 9/11. So we got stuck there too for about a week.
Wow.
So it was just a lot of things that happened. And it was like, okay, maybe we are meant to come. So we thought if we don't come now, we'll have to give up our approval. And we thought, okay, let's go. So we sold everything we owned, like everything, because we did not want to have a back door, because a back door means we will not do all we can. And there will always be that. So we thought, sell everything. So we will do our best and we have nothing to go back to.
You can't look back anymore.
So here we are.
It's such an immigrant story, right?
Like, yes, like, and thank God we have never regret.
That's fantastic.
I have more, but that should be for another day. It might be a horror show. It was a struggle to come here, but it was good and it was bad, but it was also a lot of things that, you know, we are meant to be here, and we are very grateful to be here. And so, we did not regret one single day.
But you left all the family behind. Your mom.
Well,
and dad's.
That was one of the regrets.
Right.
Like, so less people to love my children, right? But
right. Well, it does make it extended family is
yes, yes.
Kind of nice, right?
So we try to love them as much as we can to make up for all of that.
Well, I only know one of them, and she's fantastic.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
When I was talking to her, I mean, I'm going through this, and I think 10 or 15 minutes in, either I asked, I probably asked because I just do stupid things like that. Or she volunteered, like she was 23, I think, and just graduated. I'm thinking, I figured I was talking to like a 35-year-old.
She's always an old soul. She's an old soul.
Yeah. He was so
articulate.
Seriously, like I'm thinking, who are you?
I asked her that too. She's very strong-willed and very, very grounded.
She's wonderful. She's a
thank you.
Very, very bright child. I mean, good on you guys. Thank because. You. I thought, wow, this is just because I didn't know. Like Phil had introduced her to the company. I didn't know who she was, right? But she,
thank you.
Very, very, very nice.
Thank you. We're very proud parents of Megan. Thank you.
So you did an interview in Seattle.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
9/11 happened. So you weren't in Canada. You hadn't been accepted yet. So did you have to go back home?
Yes.
And then came back here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you're almost 20 years now.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
With 19 going 20.
We moved here 2002.
2002. Okay. Mm-hmm. So early. I thought, okay.
Yeah.
So you come here, you end up in the house because that's what was available. That's a good one too. Why not? Yeah. That makes sense, right? I'm sure.
It was so practical.
But listen, you were already in the restaurant industry.
So Glenson was.
He was managing. My family has a franchise. You know, my dad owned franchise.
Okay, so he had numerous restaurants or a few restaurants.
But you know, having a franchise is different.
Totally,
because everything's set up.
Well, someone else's rules too, right? Mm-hmm.
And so when we opened our own restaurant, it's a complete new ball game. We had to figure things out,
and we're still figuring it out up to this day.
It's okay. You've
like done every day, you learn something new. Yes,
you've done well enough. And it sounds like if you're of Filipino Chinese descent, Mr. Wong will show up at your door eventually, because I guess the information goes out, hey, we have new people in town, Bill, please go see people, yell at them and kind of rip apart their menu and have fun with that. But good, because it's nice when the community kind of sticks together and you have at least somebody out there trying to help, because it's tough, right? I mean, you know, it's a new country. You don't, like you said, you don't have family. You know, lucky you had a few friends kicking around, but it's not.
It was
not easy.
And it was the restaurant, because we have a Southeast Asian cuisine menu, so it took a lot of educating.
You could have done it in Vancouver, like we were already way ahead.
Yes, yeah,
but
yes,
Toronto
absolutely.
Was definitely
and we are
not
in,
there yet.
And we're in Oakville too, right? A suburb, yeah, not even yeah, in Toronto, downtown Toronto. So
yeah,
it
yeah.
was a lot of like
while,
talking about,
yeah, took a
you
while
know,
to educate
talking
customers.
About what this is, what that is, like what right. this with, and what is garlic rice, like what is chicken adobo, like all these things were like, why don't you have chicken fried rice and chicken
or
balls?
Chicken
balls.
Sour chicken.
So, chicken balls. So how do you explain
what
that
is
to
chicken
people?
Balls? I'm like, not to diss anybody else, but I have never had chicken balls
know.
Until I came to North America. I
yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know what they
I
are.
I had no
actually.
Clue, and we actually had to go out and order and one it. Just to know what they're talking about. And I'm like, why would they like this? I don't
yeah.
understand.
Yeah, just don't bother. Nobody
yes, like, but we need to know what we don't know, right? So
right,
we had to go experience like what other people are talking about. Like, why would I make this? And I don't even know how to make this.
But you picked your own food, so you said, okay, you know what?
Yes,
it's sort of the food
ground.
That I ate back home.
Mm-hmm.
Right, this was sort of family recipes, I'm assuming,
mm-hmm.
or things like
yes.
that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you decide yeah. to open up a restaurant in a pretty white area.
Yes, as white as you can get.
Pretty
yeah,
much.
Very,
yeah. I would
yes.
say,
yes.
But didn't want to go.
And we love it.
All good.
And we love it.
How did
so
you get people
there's
to
no
understand?
Bill Wong coming.
Well, maybe Bill actually helped a little bit. I don't know if he did or didn't because
he did,
probably
because
scared
he
you into thinking.
Us.
Right. So
yes.
how did you explain to people like what you were doing? Like how to. Because 20 years ago, to your point, in especially in those areas, like
you know,
you must have been the only one on the block making.
We were.
Yes. Yeah.
We were
non-traditional
so
like, Asian food.
Yeah. Yes.
Not normal white guy,
not,
you know, chow mein.
American.
You know,
yes. Yes. No chow mein.
Like
no
literally
chow mein.
In between the two, right? Because you think like at that
only
time.
Filipino food is a little different too.
Yeah. There was nothing here besides like Hong Kong, Cantonese sort of food, right? So mm-hmm. if you wanted. Like if you're Chinese or you know Chinese and you want Chinese, it's like, you know, fried noodles, fried rice, not chicken fried rice, but like really
no.
classic fried rice, right?
Right.
And then mm-hmm. on the other side is, you know, spring rolls, egg rolls, you know,
mm-hmm.
but literally the divide is there, right? And so when these guys, they were like, well, you know, we have all these really great home cooked, you know, recipes that can, you know, they've done some work to like, they did some work to present it a little bit more westernized, right, in terms
mm-hmm,
of the descriptions
mm-hmm.
and everything, but otherwise, you know, and it was really like I thought it was fantastic, right, because fusion was just coming on the scene. They weren't quite fusion, but they were certainly branching out, right? So it was
mm-hmm.
a tough like empty space for
mm-hmm.
for the market they were in.
That's yeah. the part. I mean, again, like in the city we're in, we already had a
mm-hmm.
strong Filipino
yeah.
community.
Mm-hmm.
We had,
mm-hmm.
obviously
yeah.
it's Vancouver, so we had a
yeah.
very heavy Chinese community. We had a,
yes.
a Southeast Indian community. We had
mm-hmm.
a lot of
yeah.
immigrants from
it's very
Asia.
Diverse.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a different
yeah.
city, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just, you know, so you're
in a
opening
suburb.
Up. You're opening up in a suburb in a
mm-hmm.
in a metropolitan area that doesn't have a lot of Asians yet,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes,
not like
mm-hmm.
Vancouver did.
Yeah,
or even
we
Calgary
were the only
does.
One.
Yes.
So,
and I guess we were lucky too, because a lot of our customers at the time were willing to try.
But that's my point. That's what I was going to ask you. I'm glad you brought this. So like who came in? Like you're.
You know what? The funny thing is like before we started, so the week before we started, we printed out flyers and the menu and everything else. And then my parents were here to visit and, you know, just be with the kids. So me, the girls and my parents like just walked around the neighborhood and sent out the menu to people. And then we got to talk to some people in the park, some people in the door, like it was literally like door to door. And then we kind of got to a sense of like, okay, these people might be interested. And then they were willingly like, you know, telling us about what they wanted and what they don't want, or not that it really changed the menu, but we kind of had an idea. But also when we started, we really did not know what we were doing. Like, to be honest, Bill was right on the spot where he said like, you don't know what you're doing. And you know what, we really did not know what we're doing. I'm a home cook. Like
right.
I went to cooking school every summer of my life, but apart from that, that was home cooking. And we did not know how to scale it to restaurant level, how to make it fast, how to make it, not to say shortcut, but how to make the prep so that you can just cook something in 5 minutes, right?
Well, you have to make it profitable, right? Time is,
yes,
time
and,
is money.
And
yes.
I didn't even
yes.
think about that. I just thought I was going to put food on the table. We're not
right.
really business people. We were
right.
just thinking like, we got to do something, right?
Right.
It was mostly the condition of having to open a business that was looming over our head than making
yeah,
money.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think that was our biggest thing at the beginning. Like we need to do this at least for 6 months. And then once we get over this, then we can think of something else, how we're going to maybe work for someone.
Right.
That was never our intention to do it for 20 years. But when we started doing it, we did the menu. We thought this is good. And then the first week we started, the cook that we hired, screwed us over. He bought ingredients that he wanted to use using our account for his own menu that he was going to do the Mugu Gai Pan and then the Cantonese Chow Mein. He was going to do what he wanted to do regardless of my menu. So when we found that out, and then
the day before we were about to open, we fired him.
We were just like, what is this? Like, what are you doing? And then we were telling him to do what we wanted him to do. Yeah. It was insane. And we were just so lost. And we didn't know what to do. And then the ingredients were sitting in the fridge. And I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? And then we tried to find another cook, but we couldn't. And I have a friend who was in the restaurant industry who said, okay, give me a week. I have someone, but it would take him a week before he can come see you. And I think you'll like him. He was my old cook. I think you guys will get along. And this is basing off how he knew me for 2 weeks and knowing this other guy for maybe 3 years. So I said, okay, now what do we do? And then this friend said, I'm going to Montreal. You want to come? So you know what we did?
We don't have a cook. We can't open. So, okay, let's go to Montreal.
My mom, my dad, my kids, we just went to Montreal and had a vacation, a stressful one, but we just went because we don't know what else to do. So we just went to visit Montreal and, had a trip and then came back and okay. And then met this cook. And then the same day, the cook came. My friend who introduced me to this cook, he also introduced me to Joe. Joe is the guy I was telling you behind Walk With Yen.
Right.
And Joe is a very respected chef in Markham, Scarborough area, all Chinese restaurants, high-end hotel Chinese restaurants. So he came and was like, okay, tell me what you wanted to do and let's talk about it. And he was so nice. He was so kind and generous with his advice. Helpful. And he taught us okay.
Kind of help us with the systems in place, the processes in place in the kitchen.
Yes.
How to do it, make it more efficient.
And low wastage, if you use this part of the bell pepper, you should use this other part. Okay, this one you can do for soup. So those things that you never know going into a restaurant, you just think I need carrots, so I buy carrots, right?
Yeah.
You don't use just carrots for one thing. You need to use carrots for every other thing. So you don't just have one thing sitting there and, molding, right? So he said okay, now we have to figure out another dish. Okay, how about let's come up with this? So he tried to make it simple, not really exactly change my recipe. And he also okay, so you're in Oakville, no chicken bones, no face, no chicken face, no chicken feet, no fish with face, fillet everything.
Nobody wants to know what it is. They just want to say it's fish.
That's the way we have to.
Yeah.
that's our biggest compromise. We cannot compromise on at that time you said let's not compromise on the ingredients and the taste.
Right.
Maybe the presentation we have to we can't have everything looking brown and the old food. Right. So, but back home, that was the thing, the better, the longer it is in the pot, the better the taste. That taste comes
obviously,
together.
Right, that's how it works.
A stew, right? So I said, we can't just sell stew. We can't do that because that's not going to look appealing. So we have to kind of change the way we make some dishes, but we stayed true to the ingredients and the flavors. But we really have to use a lot of chicken breasts instead of a lot of chicken thighs with the bones.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was the biggest compromise. But it took a lot of getting used to, and lo and behold, we had our menu a little bit Canadianized in that sense, in presentation sense. But the moment we opened, we hit the ground running. Honestly, I was so grateful because the moment we opened, we had people out the door waiting for that 4 o'clock for us to open. We were open 4 to 10 and we have been busy since the first day.
Seriously.
It's delicious.
And fantastic.
We were overwhelmed.
We love these guys.
We were just overwhelmed with the welcome and the anticipation and the eagerness and the openness of people wanting to try something new. And they were honestly, the Canadians attack us with kindness. Every day we were just attacked with kindness, and we could not be any other thing than to reciprocate, because where we came from, we were second-class citizens, even when we were born there, but we were Chinese living in the Philippines. But coming to Canada, after 6 months, I told Glenson, you know what? This is home. Unpack our bags. This is where we will be. This is where we will die. If there's war, we are fighting for Canada.
Yeah, that's nice.
It really has been the best thing we've ever done for my children and for us.
Well, that makes you happy to be Canadian. That's nice. I'm glad we
treated people well. Yes, and I'm proud to call myself one.
That's awesome.
Well, it's true. They say Canadians are the kindest in the world, and it's true.
Yes, and my children grew up with the kindest people in the world. I can't really complain.
Well, that's a great story.
it's true, though. If you hear all the other things that people have done for us, and like strangers, like complete strangers, it's just like, I don't think we've ever seen anybody even do that for their family. I'm just like overwhelmed with gratitude, and we are just so touched.
Yeah. We have met a lot of angels, so to speak, here.
Like random
people, you know, they're not even family, they're not even close friends, and they
like just customers. Reach out
and help, and in not small ways, but like big ways. Like,
and you know, going back to Megan, like, I mean, we've raised Megan as the way we raised her would be like, I would say, a gathering of like community, like the community raised Megan, because, you know, people would come to the restaurant and give us like unsolicited advice, which we gladly took because it's the Canadian way. Like, we only knew how to raise our children the Asian way, which, you know, is not 100%. It's not perfect. Like, you know, it's not different. Perfect. It's very strict, conservative. There's many ways, but we have learned to be more progressive, I would say, and more liberal.
A new perspective on things?
Like, very different. And I think a lot of that has been from a lot of customers saying like, oh, Mimi, don't pay for their education in university. Make sure they're responsible for this. Make sure they pay half of it. They should be invested in their education as much as you are. You can't pay for all of it and they just take that for granted. Oh, Mimi, you should let them do this. Mimi, you should do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? And it took me a long time. Thank God they started telling me this when they were young, because it took me a long time to warm up to these ideas of like, oh, by 18, they should get out. You know, by 18, they should be independent. All these things where we came from, we live with our parents forever. Even sometimes when you're married, you live with them and then your wife comes to the house or your husband lives with them. Like, you all live in the same house. But now we are very, I would say, white. Or progressive, or I don't know what you would call that, but we are very happy with all the advice. And we're grateful for that. And my kids are very well adjusted to being North American, if we would call that. You know, we did not come to Canada to be Asians. You know, we came to Canada to live a better life and a more, I would say, a more well-rounded upbringing.
Yeah. Really, they're wonderful children. I know them both. I love them both.
It's more like, you know, we take the
good and the bad. Good,
yeah,
right.
You know, what's good here, and you know, you incorporate into your principles, your values.
Yeah, like, you know, Megan and I, like, and Mika and I, like, we all have like such a close family that we talk about everything under the sun. Like, literally nothing is off limits, and I don't have the same relationship with my parents about that. Like, we, you know, we have to worry about everything we have to say to them, and even saying just like, you know, I love you to my parents or was something that we never really did. But for Megan, it's like a normal thing. Like, we do that on a daily basis. And even up to this day, my mom would tell me like, stop telling her I love you. Like, what's wrong with you? Stop telling them. You don't want them to know. I'm like, you mean you don't want, like, my children should not know that I love them?
Yeah.
Like, they will abuse you. And I'm like, oh, they will abuse me regardless. But
yeah.
It's a very, very different concept.
Yeah.
It's so old school. Yeah, very, very old school. And, you know, we're grateful.
Most immigrant families are that. It doesn't matter where you come from.
I think we all have the same.
Yeah. That's cool.
Can I add, like, having watched the girls grow up, right? Like, when we come to the restaurant and everything like that, you got into this because of the kids, right? You wanted to make sure they had a good future, that you were in the right place. What's next for you? Like, because along the way, you know, you had a neighborhood restaurant, you moved to another neighborhood, opened up seating, you know, like you've had some kind of big moves along the way. Mm-hmm. And then you've had pandemic, obviously, as well, that's kind of thrown. But like, your girls are, they're big now, right? Like they're young ladies and kind of out in the world. What, like, does that change the way you look at the restaurant or what you want to do with it now?
100%. Yes, 100%. Yeah. So the pandemic definitely changed a lot of things. Mm-hmm. We love 2 days off now. Like, we did not know what that means. Like, other people have 2 days off all this time, and we were just working like dogs, and, you know, we might not be great with many things, and we don't have maybe the best everything, but we most definitely understand what it means to work like dogs and work hard. And we definitely did that. And we're just workaholics too. So we don't know what it means to sit idle. So that part, we've worked hard for so many years and only knew how to work hard. But now after the pandemic, I think that changes a lot of things in the sense of perspective and time to be able to enjoy what we want. We had a house that we're paying mortgage for, but never really got to sit in my sofa. Like I barely had time to, like, you know, I bought a beautiful couch. I had like the whole place set up, but we really use it once a year for when
people come over.
Did
you live at the restaurant? Yeah, you live at the restaurant.
Yes, because we live in the restaurant. I have good
plots at home.
And, you know, like all these things. And even a garden that I love and I planted by myself and but never got to really take care of. But this year we are like weed free. Like the front and the back is weed free. The grass is green. All the flowers are blooming. I had time to like prune them when it's time to prune them. Like there's no leaf on the weekends. Like I blow her 3 times a week. You know, it's like, wow. Obviously, that's more work, but I am very happy to do it because it's so very different from making the sauce and serving customers and washing dishes. It's just a different kind of work, but relaxing.
For yourself now.
Yeah.
Right. So now this is 2 days off. We kind of don't want to give that up. And also because the lunch crowd has gone. Like
people are working from home now, right?
Ford
there's no lunch crowd.
Yeah, Ford is a big client and they're going back in January. I think the announcement was going to be in January, but I heard the last I heard is like they're going to go back in hybrid mode and once a month. I mean, like, what does once a month mean? Which day of the month? Like, am I supposed to open for that day only and like have the whole place
booked
by
Ford? Maybe they can share their calendars so you know
what? Yes, and I'm sure I could because I'm very good buddies with them. I'm sure I'll just ask them like, okay, guys, tell me which day.
Tell me which day.
But,
but even that doesn't make sense for us. So we kind of took the lunch menu away and then just came up with like, okay, let's just be open for lunch for the people who want to meet people, who have meetings, you know, they just want to come out
social,
and have
social meetup,
Right. So, but we are now open Tuesdays to Saturdays, but we want to keep our Mondays off and our Sundays, we always work close for Sunday. So we're going to keep that off. And then now because the kids are grown, we don't have to worry about them. They're both self-sufficient. They're grown up. We're almost mortgage free. We kind of don't really see as ourselves as like doing this for a long, long time. We also wanted to be able to kind of have that balance. I mean, maybe it's ungrateful to be having this thought when we survived the pandemic and we did okay, but I guess just time for ourselves. I mean, I don't want to sound ungrateful, but really it's more time to just slow down a little bit because we only knew how to run fast and faster. Now we realize
I think
we can actually walk.
I think the pandemic is exactly that, right? Is a chance for you to stop and
reflect.
Look at what's right and what's not right, right? Like both of Penny and I have talked about it on this podcast. We both appreciate, you know, the lifestyles that we have. We're grateful for what the pandemic did for us as well, right?
Like, yes, it's unfortunate how we have to be grateful for something so awful, but the time that it allotted us, right, is very precious.
Yeah.
And you know, we got to spend time like Megan and her boyfriend Nate is at home, and then we got to really get close to everybody, and Mika's coming home too. Like we got to really bond so much, and like what is important in life, right? Family and friends and time. I think like we all have limited time here, and I think about it and I don't want to think like, you know, all I did was work and not have time with the children.
And you got all the time in the world now, and that's
the I don't have the time in the world, right? Yeah. So
you've got time now to do what you want to do, right?
Yes, so
take
yes.
Take advantage of it.
Yes, and we are.
I think you
and
should.
We are, and we just opened dine-in like 2 weeks ago, two, three weeks ago. And that has been like a little bit of an anxiety-causing event. We've tried to limit the table just because we're understaffed as we always are. Just not because there's not a lot of people applying. There is not a lot of people applying. That's one thing. But also, we've always been very picky to find the right staff.
Right.
Like we have a certain expectation for the people that work for us. Like our two cooks and then whoever's in the front, there's the four of us running around in the kitchen. It's a very small space that we always wanted to make sure that whoever's in there is a good person. I don't care about your skills.
Just, they just have to fit, I think, you know? Personality-wise.
I don't care about your skills, whether you are, you know, this or that. We can always train for the skill. But the personality and the kindness and the core of a human being, their integrity, I don't think you can train for that. So if there's a bad person in the restaurant, that really ruins our mood.
Right.
That really ruins how we can go forward and do what we need to do and function and do our jobs. Like when there was a bad cook, like I've been worrying about, okay, is the food coming out right? Is it coming up to the standards? Is that cook? Is this not done well? Like, you know, I have to keep worrying about that and checking everything that comes out. I don't have time for that. I need to make sure that when you're on board, we're all going forward and doing the same thing that we are all trying to do, which is be successful and do their things right. And we've had a very hard situation last year because we couldn't change staff. And that was the biggest thing.
That was hard.
That was so much more stressful and anxiety causing than the pandemic itself, because we could not change people, because we knew the habits of our cooks and they know the habits of each other. And they were all cautious and we were all cautious and we were all paranoid of getting sick. But we don't want to get somebody new where we do not know where he came from, what he does, who he lives with.
So stressful.
So we just, we just kept the boat going. If it's slow, then it's slow. If it's not slow, then it's not slow. But we just didn't want to rock the boat at that time. Mm-hmm. And that was hard because we did not like what was going on
right
in the kitchen. So that was the biggest struggle, but we got through it. We were able to change like within like 2 months ago or a month ago, we were able to change. And now we are so much more relaxed and going forward and trying to like, okay, let's open dine in. We can do this now because we got our old cook back.
Right.
And he also had to struggle because he went to other places and he's like, oh, apparently it's not greener on the other side of the fence. So yay. So now he's back and he's very happy with a better disposition. He's now very happy to be back because before he was like,
so grumpy.
You're so picky. You have so many expectations. But now he goes there and he's like, actually, it's fantastic here. I love it here. So we're happy about that. That was just a blessing. And now that we're here and they all get along and we're all very cautious still. So moving forward, now we're just thinking, finding the right staff for the front.
Front of the house.
And you know, we get kids, right? Like we get kids who are 14 and they stay with us until they're 18. And they're just Fridays and Saturdays, just helping us with the takeout boxes.
But then they learn the
system. It's pretty much Glenson and I running the whole show anyway. Right. So we only need the kids like to, you know, help us wash the dishes, help us serve the food, help us clean the tables. Like we've run the place like pretty much lunch, dinner, Monday to Saturday, like pretty much the two of us, except for the weekends. So, I mean, we're not young anymore. We're 50. So I don't know if I can run as fast. And I'm noticing that because when we had dine in, running to the takeout window, running to the front, getting the drinks, getting the order,
it's a taking fitness the test phone. Now.
So I'm panning a little faster and more now than I used to. So it is what it is, but I do miss the dining a lot. Like it was a huge thing. We love what we do because of the customers that we've always had.
Yeah.
And you know, the appreciation, the support, the just the all-around good vibe. When we have good customers on the floor, it's a party. Like that whole night, even all the staff who've been with us knows the people and they know the staff. It's like a party. The energy is just great.
It's like just having friends at home.
Yes. Right. And that's pretty much always what we wanted our restaurant to be, like to have friends, but these friends are paying. So that's even better.
Friends.
Yes. And they come at their will. So, you know, but they get to order what they want. So, you know, I guess it's a win-win on both sides, but that's really crazy. Has been what we miss. But we also are noticing there's a lot of really awful entitled people coming on board now. And we're trying to not get too frustrated with that, but we are.
Like so entitled customers?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Like
in terms of what?
They used to be bad customers, like not great ones, but now I think they're just more, I think, bolder and more entitled and just outright blatantly rude and just want to walk all over people. And the pandemic also taught us one more thing is like, you know what? We're not going to let that happen anymore. That's just not worth it. And I don't want my new kids, my new staff to ever be subjected to that. So now I'm worrying about them. Like, okay, don't go to table three. Don't go to table one. I'll serve them all. Stay back because I don't want them to get screamed at because these kids are 14. I don't want them to get discouraged or like be traumatized by some rude person.
Right.
So now that's on my plate too, right? So I make sure that, okay, which table? Don't go there. Don't even come near there. Just in case they wave you, don't even go near there. Right. So now like we're very anxious about that. I had to take anxiety medicine because of this dude dining thing. And I'm like not loving it.
Yeah, and we just find that there's more instances of
those kinds
since the pandemic.
But it seems like before it's like once every 3 months, and now it's like once or twice a week. Like, wow, no. It's not fun. It's not fun, and it's definitely ruining our mood. And even everybody else at the back of the kitchen, they don't like that. The pandemic also taught us a lot of things. Like there would be a bill, somebody would order, I guess everybody's taking out food, and then somebody would order like, okay, let's say 5 pad thai. Guess what? Every single pad thai has a modification. Every single one. Like instead of the guy, my cook cooking 5 pad thais in one shot, he'd have to make 5 pad thais in five different times. So one with no tofu. Okay, one tofu, no peanuts. That's fine. That's just a garnish. The other one, oh, take out no green onions. And the other one, no red bell peppers. The other one, more bean sprouts. And the cook would just look at the bill and then like WTF. And he's like, I'm ready to quit. And we have to protect our cook's psyche too. And like we have to put at one point say, okay, we are not allowing any more changes to this extent. Like, okay, not spicy, spicy, understand. No peanuts, I understand. No garnish, no egg, fine. Mm-hmm. But the way it's getting cooked, you can't say, come on, there's like 5 bell pepper strips there. Pick it out. Like, don't be so picky to the point where you don't understand what it entails for the person making it.
Yeah.
Like, we do allow many things, but this is just, wow, 5 different modifications on something that's so standard. That's just wrong, I think. Yeah. I mean, I am a customer too. We go out to eat like you would not believe. Like we have a restaurant, but we love eating. We're foodies.
Oh my God.
And we would never do that.
Just so you know, Kenny.
I don't know if anybody does anymore.
Like we would never do that. Like not because we know how it is on the other end, but it's just like, if you're so picky, just stay home. Like
I'm the same way you are. I just don't understand.
Like
first off, they don't do that at home.
I don't know. Maybe they do.
First off, half of them don't know how to cook. They don't know how to do it. So they don't do it at home. I don't understand why you would go to a restaurant and expect that they'll just do whatever you want. If you don't want to eat here, go somewhere else.
Yes, but like, we can't say that, right?
Well, you're going to get to the point. I think if people continue to push the way they're pushing, mm-hmm. I think it becomes much more of a thing that you can say that and say, listen, you know what? I really, this is not the restaurant for you.
Yeah, I know. We think that all the time.
You know, and I think you can get to that point. Your problem is today's what you got to be cautious with is that people have gotten not just even more entitled or bold, and it's just they're more bold, they're more aggressive.
Yes, yes.
Like, they're going to be right in your face.
They forgot to be decent people anymore.
Exactly. And I just don't know what happened with that. But anyway, so you guys have just gone back to sitting down?
Just 2 weeks, 2 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, you guys have any, like, we've been eating inside restaurants for,
I know.
I don't think we've ever really stopped to some degree.
Yes, yes.
But you guys, 2 weeks only that you've been.
Yeah, 2-3 weeks. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that was fine because taking out was so easy. Like, you know, well, it's not easy, but it's so much easier because
it's different.
We wrap it by, you know, we miss the human connection, but we try to talk to people on the takeout window, and we have a takeout window. That's why we're still here, and we're very, very blessed. So it used to be an RB, so we had that like drive-through
window.
Right.
So convenient for other people, and then it's easy because they already know what they want. They just have to drive through. They can be in their pajamas, in their sweats, in whatever, and you know,
pick up the food.
Life is good. So
you did a good business on takeout.
Yes, we still do.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't do delivery and stuff.
No delivery. We could not handle it.
Yeah.
We could not handle delivery. We have so never Uber Eats. No skip the dishes. Nothing.
I thought it was just Phil. I thought maybe Phil was being cheap.
No.
I wasn't too sure.
And you know what? A very good story is we actually, since the very beginning of the pandemic, actually before the pandemic, so the pandemic started in December. That started in China, right?
Right.
So by January, we were very much aware of what's going on already because both my cooks read Chinese news. So we were already on edge. All of us were already on edge. Right. So as soon as somebody starts to cough in the restaurant, we were already like sanitizing, like Lysoling and bleaching every part that they have touched. And I remember in February, there was this family who just came off the plane. They were talking about it. I don't know where they came from, but the whole table was coughing like you would not believe. Like they looked like they were choking on something, the whole table, and they were coughing on the menu. They were coughing on the bills. We were like, I was watching them like a hawk, and I sat everybody around them and moved everybody that I could and did not sit anymore anybody around them. And as soon as they left, we bleached the whole place. We bleached the whole place and we started washing all the menus since that day. Every night we started like scrubbing the menu. We have a table for just the dirty menus that we've given to people, not even dirty, that people that use the menu or touch the menu. We already were doing that and we shut down before the government even asked us to shut down. We shut down the restaurant for 2.5 weeks. And that was not a party. We were anxious. We didn't know how to go forward. We just did not feel safe because our takeout window was just but a window. So we thought like, how are we going to go?
We were not using the takeout window before. Prior to COVID,
it was coming in.
It was just dying. It's just there. In fact, it was blocked off with boxes.
And then we tried to use the takeout window, but even that was not safe because the exhaust of the restaurant pulls out the clean air from outside.
Right.
If there was like molecules, will be like exhaust would pull them in, and then that would infect us. So we were wondering like, okay, this might not be a good idea. So we had to shut down and think about what to do. And even the two cooks were like, if you're going to keep doing the takeout window, we are not feeling safe. We have elders living with us. We don't want to get them sick. So we were all uncertain how to go forward. We shut down for 2.5 weeks. And then we thought, okay, let's get somebody to come and put a plexiglass so we could slide that in and protect ourselves so we could slide it out when we're giving the boxes away. So we got that installed. And okay, next week, okay, we're back. And then since we came back, we were like insanely busy. We've never been busy before. And we had no staff because we had to let our elder staff go home because we didn't want to put her in a position where she might get sick. And then the young kids, we were not sure if they were gallivanting somewhere else. Right. We were not sure if they were going to school. So the kids that have been with us for so long has been like family, but she was anxious to come to work and we were anxious for her to come to work. So it turned out well. And then, so we had both Megan and Mika at home and like, okay, everybody, all hands on deck. And Megan's boyfriend too, everybody, all hands on deck. We were answering the phones like you would not believe. Like,
yeah, that was crazy
time. Everything was like, one sec, I'm still with another customer. I'm sorry. And then people were getting mad because they can't get through. We had to put all the phone calls through another phone. It was insane. And the boys were just...
They're just wondering, what's going on?
I don't know if they were grateful. I don't know if they were mad. They were not happy. But to a point, we were just like, what is going on? Because a lot of their friends were like being fired left and right. Their cooks, their friends who were cooks too. Right. They were fired left and right. Or the restaurant has shut down.
Closed down, yeah.
Because it's a different setup. Because we always had like maybe 50%, 60% dine-in and takeout. It really depends on the day. It's almost even. So I guess because people can't dine in, people just took out, right? So we were insane. We were so insane to the point we were didn't even know what to do. And so we were grateful about that, but we were dead tired. Every day we had to come and wrap dumplings because now we had to do it on our own because my aunt's not being able to come. And Glenson and I were like wrapping dumplings, wrapping spring rolls, like doing wontons. Like that was during the day. And in the afternoon, we have to wash all the bins. We have to wash all the metal containers because the cooks can't get to it because we're cutting vegetables all day, all night. So even if we were open for dinner only, we were busy. Ooh, yeah, but once busy. It hits 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock and at 6 o'clock, you can't even go to the washroom. Nobody goes to the washroom. Nobody drink water. Everybody run.
Hold it in.
Like we were running back and forth. Awesome. It was insane.
That's awesome.
It was
amazing.
But we're
crazy.
Grateful.
Yeah.
So now we'll see how it goes. We're thinking like, you know, we're going to keep the takeout the way it is until we have to figure out something else. And then we're taking only a few dine-ins at a time. Okay. So this is how we are, you know, every day we just like make a decision today for tomorrow. We are not thinking about next week. We just get so overwhelmed and anxious when we think about tomorrow. Yeah. So one day at a time. And that has been our motto since last year.
You made it through the worst of it. So, I mean.
Mm-hmm. And even the supply chain, I heard you talking about it. And that's one of the biggest things. At one point, we had no containers.
Yeah.
Like, we are doing takeout, but we don't have containers. Like we were
scramble for it.
We were down to our last stack. And we were like wondering if somebody calls, should we tell them to bring their own containers? Because where are we going to put the box, the food into? And we had to hoard, but the supplier would like, no, you're only allowed this much. And even oil, you're only allowed this much. And my old cook was telling me at one point they had no soy sauce. They could not cook anything. They had no soy sauce. We're not soy sauce heavy, so we didn't have that problem. But he was working for this other restaurant and he said, the boss had to go to Sobeys, No Frills, and get like little bottles of soy sauce to use because they could not get the big soy sauce from the supplier or from the manufacturers. And it was just to a point where even hot sauce, ketchup was a problem. So going forward, that would be our challenge. We try to go green and try to like get paper boxes for a takeout. We have an Instagram post about that. You know, we're trying to go green. Wonderful. Yay. We had that for a month and then done. We can't continue to do it because there's no more supply. And now we it's like, there's absolutely nowhere to get it.
Not right.
So we're back to the black microwavable boxes. And I don't know what to say. I mean,
yeah.
Happy that
you can do it. It is what it is, right?
Yeah, it is what it is, right?
I mean, until it cleans up, until the supply chain sort of catches up.
That's right now.
It might be another year, though.
I mean, who knows?
Easily. Yeah.
Yes. So if people have been doing Tupperware and glass lock and lock.
Well, see, we weren't allowed to bring in stuff from home in BC. That's one thing we couldn't do.
Oh, well, that's one thing. Right. I did not think about that.
But we couldn't, we weren't, you know, like, we wouldn't, you couldn't even bring your coffee cup. You know how
pre-pandemic,
you bring it in, you probably got 10 cents off coffee because they stopped all that because nobody wanted to touch someone else's.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, but your world's back to quasi. So you're closed 2 days a week now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Sunday, Mondays.
That's not going to change, you hope, because, well, it doesn't happen.
We're hoping. I'm confident we can do this.
It's up to you. I mean, train people, get used to it, right?
People got trained. You know, they're not open on Monday, so they go on Tuesday.
And you're 4 to 10, back to the old school 4 to 10.
No, actually,
it's only open now from 12 to 8:30.
So you're making it up somehow because the boys need the money for, you know, the boys need to eat too, right? So we thought like we're already here, might as well stay another, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
that was the biggest challenge too, right? Trying to keep them employed during the pandemic and trying to make sure they have enough hours.
For sure.
Because we were at like 4 o'clock to 8, and you know the CERB helped them a lot, thank God. But now that the CERB is gone, we have to make ways to make sure that they can, you know, they can survive too, right? So we're good in that sense. But if people don't come back on Monday and we don't open on Monday, and that's okay, you know, it's okay, you know, so long as we can pay rent, we're very happy about that.
I would try to stay closed as long as I could. Take the 2 days.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, why go back? Just take it off. When you've done enough years of it, just
sitting in the garden on a beautiful day is priceless.
And 2 days in a row is a lovely thing.
But it's a different mentality too, right? Like 20 years ago. You could never go out of stock on an ingredient. You could never, like, you know, if you had a dish on your menu, you had to have it all the time. Otherwise, people thought, oh, are you guys incompetent? But now, it's the opposite, right? Now it's like, I only have 100 of that item. And if you ran out, sorry, you got to come back next time, right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the closed thing is just a conditioning thing because people who love your restaurant will just realize
they're not going to care.
Come back later.
Yes.
Right. I really do think it's a mentality shift that way, right?
That's true. Yeah. And we have come to the point where another thing the pandemic taught us is like, you know, the people who mind don't matter, and the people who matter really don't mind. And that really has been so true to many things that we've done in our lives. And we can't please everybody, and we really have never been here to be pleasing everybody. We're just trying to put food on the table. We're not trying to do anything outrageously awesome and, like, you know, change the world with our food. We're just really trying to
be clear, we're just working. The food is awesome.
Thank you, Phil.
If anyone's listening, like, calamari is high on our list of things that we love there. The chabi hun is high on our list. It's like a glass noodle
comfort
dish,
food
Kenny.
For you.
So my gosh, it's so good. There's so many things
like
on
Phil
there.
Phil and I could eat all day. Like I just.
Hey, if you come by, Oklo, one day you can come.
Yeah.
I'll give you some of Phil's favorites.
But listen, if you go out to Vancouver to see Mika, Kenny, wherever they're going to eat, just follow them. I swear to you, like maybe these two are the only two people I know that love food more than we do. Like Kenny and I, all we do, like Kathy and I talk about food all the time. Kenny and I talk about food all the time. But you two are like,
we eat food all the time.
Yeah. You know what? Next time you're with Megan, just ask her about what she likes.
Megan calls me weak now because I don't want to try new things. And she's like, oh my God, who are you? Why are you so weak? Why don't you want to try this restaurant? and you, why can't you eat that much anymore? You're so weak. We need to order 5 dishes among the 3 of us so we can try everything. And I can't eat anymore. I'm like, oh my God, you're so disappointing. I was like, I'm sorry I'm disappointing you, but my metabolism is 20 years old anymore.
Jeez. The pressure the kids give you, eh?
I love it.
Yes. Oh, you have no idea.
Oh my God.
And it's always the most expensive thing on the menu. I'm like, Megan has never been cheap. Never. Never seen a kid's menu ever. She's always for the lobster and the steak.
That a girl.
You trained her right.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you.
Was that weird? Wasn't too weird, right?
Yes, it was weird.
Oh, yeah.
It was weird. It was like talking to you about things.
I think it's more weird because it's on over Zoom and we've never done it.
Yeah.
It's not like you're talking to a person face to face.
Yeah, but I guess, it is the truth. I mean, there's really not anything different I would tell another person in the restaurant.
Yeah.
It is the truth. And this is us, we've always been, if nothing, we were always authentic and true to ourselves. We've always just, just really tried to do the best that we can and put food on the table is really what our purpose was.
Yeah.
And it just turned out to be this. And we are grateful for all the things that it came with.
That's very cool.
It's amazing. Amazing. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Nice meeting you guys.
Nice meeting you, Kenny.
Likewise. Thank you as well.
Come see us.
Trust me, the next time I'm in Ontario, I'm coming.
All right.
100% be there.
Looking forward to that.
Looking forward to that.
You too.
Okay.
Take care, guys.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Phil, you're going to shut it down?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Yeah. You guys can go if you want.
You guys can go. We're going to wrap up here. But yeah,
that's it.
Do you know how to end the call?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Just, hit the leave button on the bottom right. There you go.
There you go.
Wonderful people.
How cool are they?
They're wonderful. It's just I mean, we didn't get a chance, but I'm finding funny is that, well, we don't know what we're doing. So we went around the neighborhood and gave everybody and knocked on doors. I'm thinking, what do you mean you don't know what you're doing? You did all your own marketing.
You did
more than most do. Yeah. Most just open. Yeah. And wait.
Yeah.
You went around the neighborhood, asked questions, listened for feedback to some degree, because she did say there's things that they wouldn't do, which is what they should do.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, holy shit, man.
Yeah.
Because most would just come and they just, if they asked people, they'd start to listening.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Bill obviously scared the hell out of them.
Yeah.
But probably did him a lot of good too, because you can tell they listened to some of it.
I mean, Bill, like it just, for anyone who knows Bill, right? So Bill passed, I think last year or 2 years ago, maybe a little bit more, but he, like at the time it was right around the time, he did something for restaurateurs when restaurateurs didn't have anything, right? Like when the Chinese were here and they just didn't, he had an accent, but he was fairly fluent in English, right? Like he had lots of advantages that most cooks didn't have when they came here. So it was, but by the time he had got to them, it was just, it was that turning point, right? So it was the, old meets new. And he was like, this is not a classic menu. And they're like, because we're not classic people.
but he also probably told the fundamentals, your price is wrong. This is how you do it. This is how much you need to charge. Like to teach them.
Yeah,
because I mean, if you listen to the two of them, really, I mean, yes, they had a restaurant in the Philippines, the dads, but it sounded like franchise, so it's all set.
Yeah.
Now you're coming and having to do your own thing, set your own menu, your own pricing.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you do it? You never had to do it before. The other way, someone did it for you.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different process, right?
Yeah.
But I hope they stay with their Sunday, Monday close too.
Anyway, I love them, and I'm so glad to get them on. I wanted to get them on, but like during the pandemic, I mean, you heard them, right? They were just so busy that it wasn't right. So I was appreciative that they could
come on. All cool. That was really good. Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. Nice people.
Awesome. That's it, man.
That's Sunday it, morning. Boy.
Sunday morning recording. Kenny's yawning over there.
Well,
I'll let you go back to bed maybe, or thanks for doing this on Sunday morning. I
watch football. Oh God, it's not my pleasure.
Yeah.
No, it's funny because I woke up and I'm thinking, supposed to do something today. But I think I don't remember that. And then I look at my clock and think 7:46, 7:40. Oh my God, 8 o'clock, I gotta be on.
Yeah. I'll talk to them too, because they are very social media shy, like the two of them. So I don't know if they want pictures on or whether we'll put up a Celadon.
It's up to them.
Anyway, I'll ask them about
it. I wish they would do it, because I think anything, I think, you know, there's a lot of people that would go to them. They're wonderful. Yeah. Sound like wonderful people.
Yeah. They really are. So. And like, it's such a wonderful restaurant. So
right. It's always the same. Any of the immigrant stories are just cool. Right. Cause it's nice to hear people come here and they enjoy it. They love the country.
Yeah.
And it's back to the old work hard and you can do well. It's all those, I don't know. I like that stuff. That's just,
oh, come on. Look at these two. Right.
I mean, I think
it's fantastic. Anything when they got here, it's amazing.
You know, seriously,
where they are now, right? Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Anyway, all right, young man.
Okay, buddy.
You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Okay.
Okay. Ciao, man. Ciao, Chang.
Okay. Bye.